Now you just take it all out on the dogs.
That's right. Chopstick!
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon, episode 114. I'm Ian Boothby.
And my name is David Dedrick.
And I'm not going to curse this episode like I did the last episode by saying, hey, my cough's gone, and then immediately... Mm-hmm. The gods of illness
yes.
went, hello, hubris.
Yeah.
I'm going to land.
Hello, Cubert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was.
Or Cubris.
I was swearing like Cubert with my little swear balloon as snakes jumped in weird angles at me. Cubert was a terrible game. Let's just admit that.
That's why it's called Cubris, is you think you've created a fantastic video game.
That's right.
Really, you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It looked like it was a mix of Pac-Man. It covered that base, mm-hmm. and it looked like a little bit of Donkey Kong because you're going up something. But just an absolutely terrible game that no... In that movie... what's the movie with the Fix-It Felix and...
Wreck-It Ralph.
When you see Cubert and he's homeless and he's sitting there, that's the one part of the movie I went, yes. I agree with this 100%. Yeah, give him some food. I don't want him to starve to death. But in no way should that little creature be working. He's terribly designed. He's not appealing. He can only swear.
Yeah.
Horrible creature in a horrible game. Anyway, Dave, hi.
I was just going to say what would have made him better would be three horns.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
then you could have an ass trumpet. I think that just would have made it more appealing.
Okay, wait. Now, which one of the horns is his ass trumpet? So he's got two horns on his head.
He's got
one on his ass.
He has a mouth. He has a mouth horn, a top of the head horn.
Okay.
And then an ass trumpet.
Okay.
I don't know. I think it would be better.
Sure. All
you
right.
Don't think so?
Look, hey, with the technology of today, you can make that game.
So
I remember that, by the way, that was the only thing that I got out of computer class in junior high school was we had a
Snoopy poster made of X's and O's.
Well, not the Mr. Advanced. Mine was we had a Pac-Man game on the Atari 2E, I think it was.
Or and, not 2E.
Ah, nice. Well played. And then I was able to find a way of changing things so that it was like a treble clef who was eating musical notes. I was able to change that to that. And it was like, look at my Music Man thing. It was great. And the best part of that was the amount of hours I spent learning all the stuff on the Apple IIe and them going, you know what? You're going to need computers when you get to be an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to being an adult. Now everyone can do computers and my mom's editing stuff on her pad.
Yeah.
You know, and just like, forget it. There was no point. That was the biggest waste. For all the people that went like, this class, when am I going to use this?
Yeah.
Okay. And there's always like, well, maybe you will use biology. Maybe you will use calculus. Maybe you will use this. Maybe you will use that. Learning the Apple IIe? No. That was absolutely useless.
I will disagree with you in
Please
this,
do.
In this way, is that the people who learned all that stuff in the Apple IIe is the reason that we have everything that we have now.
Okay.
Is that taught a lot of people that what they didn't want was the Apple IIe, and they created the world that we're in now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that wouldn't have happened without
someone
that
went,
step.
Give me a mouse. I've had enough of this.
We needed a step. We needed like, you know, little steps towards the mouse.
And the other children that had to learn this, they were the sacrifice.
That's right.
To the god.
That's right.
Of Steve
god.
Jobs.
That's the god of jobs.
The god of jobs.
Yeah.
And then we get what we have today. Yeah. All right. That's fair. I'm using a Mac computer.
Mm-hmm.
As one behind you. Are you recording this on a Windows? Or are you recording this on a Mac?
I use PC.
You use PC?
Yes.
Oh, well, there
I'm
we go.
I'm very politically correct, as you know.
Mm-hmm. And progressive conservative.
And politically conservative.
And president's choice. Okay.
Terrible.
Now, Dave, let's just, there is...
Clear the air.
No, you know what? I would open a window, but I can't because it is the coldest it has ever been in Vancouver in recorded history today.
I'm sure people in other parts of North America...
Oh, it's not close to that.
They are jealous. They are not, they are like, no, not jealous. They are agog at how cold it is
Oh,
here.
yeah. People have had to go from shorts to capris. It's been rough.
It's that cold.
That's
it's
right.
That cold.
We've had to reduce our sunscreen down at least 30.
That's
like,
right.
It's been ridiculous.
It's crazy.
The dogs have to wear now a tank top instead of going out, you know, starkers. So it's been very, very rough. We really have to cut down your suntanning at the beach to maybe a half hour. Otherwise, you'll just get too chilled.
That's right. Right now, I can't ski on the mountain and then drive down and go windsurfing. in the Bay. I can't do that right
Which
now.
Which is the
it's
only justification for our multi-million dollar houses that look like shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we've got no reason for existing right now at all. Yeah.
Because the temperature is -8.3. Which sounds incredibly cold if you're thinking in Fahrenheit, but I'm talking Celsius.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking Celsius.
Now, if I'm thinking -40, what am I thinking?
In Fahrenheit?
Doesn't matter.
They're both the same.
That's right.
We talked about that before, but
I know.
I'll pretend that I'm smart.
No,
I knew that before.
I'm doing a callback.
Oh,
I'm rewarding the listeners for listening to previous shows. They're going, oh, they're doing their old 40 below bit.
That old
classic bit.
Sure, a recallback.
That's right.
Yeah.
Total recallback.
Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to transition to something semi-serious right now, and it's tough.
Well, it is tough because here's what happened.
Let's pivot turn.
Can I just tell you what happened?
Please do.
The other day, I was washing dishes, and I looked down, and
by the way, let me just do a whipping sound effect.
Well, it sounds... Is that because I'm whipped?
No, that's because of you use a Whippy. Have you seen the commercials for Whippy? Whippy's a dish soap?
I use Cool Whip to wash the dishes.
That's right.
That's what you're getting at. And so...
You shouldn't eat it. Let's admit that much.
Washing the dishes is my zen time of the day. I actually quite enjoy washing the dishes.
Okay.
It's my moment of... This is my little peaceful time. I have on the radio and I just wash dishes for a little while. But I turn to my left... Looking towards the dishwasher, which is to my left.
Wait a second. So why are you washing dishes if you have a dishwasher?
Like pots and pans. I don't, you know, in the sensitive thing. I don't want plastic going into the dishwasher.
I just pictured your dishwasher looking at you and going, what the fuck? Why am I here? I do one thing. Yeah. You've taken my job.
You may have answered why all our dishwashers break down over time because they just get depressed and morose or...
And to just commit suicide.
They just commit suicide. Blah, and the suds come out the side of it. Like rabies or foam, you know.
That's right.
It gives a death rattle, which is the fork stuck inside the little turny part.
Open it up. There's a little note in where the cutlery goes. Yeah.
I quit. I look down and there's Al, our adopted dog. Our stepdog.
Okay, wait a second. When you say, again, when adopted dogs.
Yeah.
Now, none of you are your biological dogs.
No.
Okay, good. Your dogs are
that's
adopted.
That's why I changed it to stepdog.
Okay.
Yeah, he's our stepdog. I looked down. He's licking a plate in the dishwasher. So, I mean...
You're very much alike, you two.
I don't like the dogs in the kitchen, for one thing. Because I don't like the sound of the click-click of the nails. Nails on the linoleum. Drives me insane. Mm-hmm. So,
Trim yours, then.
They're not allowed in the... Okay. In the so then... I threw a chopstick at him.
And the dog went, that's racist.
I know this sounds like a bigger jerk than you, you know, it makes me sound like a bigger jerk than normal, but it was just like a little chopstick. It wasn't like a big giant, it wasn't a lance, right? It wasn't a, you know, whatever they threw, a javelin.
Yeah, now this dog is...
It was just a chopstick. I just kind of threw a chopstick at him.
This dog's a pit bull, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pit bull that basically, the reason the dog, you're not dead is because the dog has chosen not to kill you.
Uh-huh.
And you've decided.
Please let me finish the story.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I threw this chopstick at him.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't trying to hit him. I was trying to hit him, but I knew I wouldn't hit him. Because the only time you ever hit anyone that you throw something at is when you're throwing it up to not hit them. They go, I'll just pretend to throw this ball at Joe, and then you throw the ball, and you're going to miss him. You throw it like 5 feet off, and then it hits him right in the head.
Yeah.
You're like, what did I do?
I had that similar thing
I'm a jerk.
I think I've told you this before, the playing card that I threw at Pia once after we watched the thing about can you throw a playing card into like a watermelon. I went, hey, catch. And I threw it and cut her arm with the playing card. Then all of a sudden, I'm a fucking ninja.
Yeah.
So anyway.
And a jerk.
So no, anyway, I'm just...
No, you were a jerk.
By your
you
own
threw
standards,
a card at
sir. Yeah. By your own standards, you're going, you throw something, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
You never hit him. I'm throwing a card, which you normally can't.
Yeah.
You're just hucking a chopstick 2 feet.
Sure.
Okay.
And you cut your wife with a card. Jerk.
Okay. Back to you with your dog
abuse. So anyway, so I threw him at this... threw this chopstick at him.
At the very strong
it
dog.
Flew over his head. Like, this didn't even touch him.
Mm-hmm.
Just went out of the room.
Okay.
And he runs out of the kitchen. Yip, 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 yip. He goes... And he... gloms onto Lisa, who's in like, oh, poor Al. And she's petting him and, oh, daddy's so mean to you and blah, blah, blah. What a suckhole. His manliness rating went way down and it's not very high in the first place.
Right. Well, he's not a man. So, yeah, no. He's a dog.
His dogliness rating went way down.
That sounds like a dog thing to do to me. Also, chasing a stick. That seems very doggy.
Didn't even hit him. I could see it.
I know.
It
looks like
him.
A game of fetch.
No. He was upset. He was like yipping and... I don't know. Maybe he's had stuff thrown at him. I feel kind of bad now.
Okay. Let me just quickly
ask.
I'm
bringing up post-trauma.
Let me just ask quickly. How was your Chinese food?
It was good, actually.
All right. Good to hear.
It was Chinese New Year, so we had Chinese food.
Nice.
Yeah. So there was still some chopsticks sitting out because I'm lazy.
All right.
And we are out of dishwashing detergent.
Okay.
There's a long story to it. I won't bore you with the details.
That's fine. All right.
So, was that what you thought we're getting down to?
Yeah,
serious.
Clearly that's what I brought up. Yeah, of all the things you told me about today, I was thinking like, hey, why is your dog depressed? Hey, Dave, what? Is your dog more effeminate than usual? That's what I asked you, and you went, you know what could have been? By the way, he's also scared of Chinese people now because I threw a chopstick at him. Kung pow, you said while throwing it at him.
Well, I can't play chopsticks on the piano anymore at home.
Oh no, he's terrified.
He'll run, yip, 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 yip. Then at least he'll be there. Oh, did you mean dad? Play chopsticks at you again.
He's really playing you guys against each other.
Yeah, he is. He
really knows how to work the room.
Oh, man, does he?
By the way, animals do know how to do that. Even cats know how to do that. They know, like, hey, who's going to give me the stuff and who's not? And they figure out the whole lay of the land real fast.
It's survival instinct.
Yeah, children don't, though, because children are not as bright as animals.
What Al has learned is that what doesn't work for him is to growl at us. Like, before, if he was, like, on the couch and we were like, Al, get down, he'd be like, right. Like baring his fangs and looking all, be like, I told you to get down. And he's like, oh, okay, I guess I get off. This is not working. Now he's learned.
That is an important thing to do with a pit bull.
Now he's
learned. Do not want the pit bull to become the alpha animal in the house. Otherwise, he'll be smoking your pipe, your slippers.
He's
filling up the DVR with the dog whisperer. Like, you have no control.
Let me tell you that our other dog, who is a neurotic nut bar.
He's in therapy.
He lives under the couch. He's the alpha dog in that in their two dog relationship.
I'm the alpha dog.
Yeah, it's weird.
Okay.
He's the alpha dog and he lives under a couch.
But he chooses to live.
He chooses to live under the couch. That's true.
Right.
Except when I ask him, if I say to him, do you want to go outside? Then he goes under the couch.
Then he goes inside the couch.
Under the couch.
Oh, okay.
He goes under the couch, yeah.
When I first got my cat, Kinsey, my parents said, here's something you should know. This cat gets into places you will not believe.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, yeah, yeah. And so I wished them a good goodbye, and they said goodbye to the cat. And my dad actually wanted to keep the cat, but he didn't. It was very nice. And then he left, and then I turn around, the cat's gone. And it's a sealed room, and I have a small, small apartment.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, okay. Cupboards, nothing. Cupboards are sealed. Okay. Any windows open? Jesus. No, no. Every window is sealed. Small apartment. Where has this cat gone? And it has found a way to go behind the couch, has basically cut a hole in the couch in the back, has climbed inside the couch. And now I'm just seeing a lump moving in the couch like it's a Cronenberg movie.
Nice.
Yeah, that cat, that darn cat.
He's sneaky.
Yeah, she was.
Well, as much as I want to hear stories about your hilarious animal stories.
Well, they're all in my book, Pussy Galore.
Pussy Galore.
The Cats and Me. And it's like my relationships with various cats throughout the ages. And so I'm just saying that's on the Kindle.
Okay.
So go check that out.
Sure.
Okay.
Get it on Amazon.
All right.
Download it with your book.
Oh, it's not on Amazon.
It's not available on Amazon.
No. Well, it's on Amazon FU, which is it's a country that I'm not aware of, but apparently they accepted this book, but only for them.
Only for them.
Right. So and you have to legally go to this country and be a citizen to download it. Mm. So it's a bit tricky, but if you want that book, that's how you do it.
Yeah. French Uruguay.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're a citizen since you were banished from Canada.
Yes.
We've established that happened the last couple of episodes. You now live. You are officially a citizen of French Uruguay. Mm-hmm. Right.
Calling you on Skype.
That's right.
Yeah.
Though you accidentally spelled it French, you are gay.
Yes.
Which now, unfortunately, that's on all of your ID. But there you go. There you go.
It only is a problem if I go to Quebec or to France.
Right.
Yeah.
And it also says animal abuser on all your cards. You have to legally have that on.
Yeah.
And then there's a little drawing of a chopstick explaining how you abuse dogs.
Well, actually, what it was is that I'm actually, I use animal abs. And so I'm an animal ab user. But the problem was is that somehow there's a typo and it got put together into animal.
So abuser. It says animal abs?
Animal ab user.
Oh, I thought you had the abs of an animal.
That's what
so,
I use.
So you have multiple nipples.
Yes, exactly.
That's why I do not feel comfortable going to the gym with you.
It's a new thing.
It surely is.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, what I'm going to do right
clear
now.
Clear the decks.
I'm going to clear the decks. I'm going to tear a page here, and we're going to be on a fresh page. There, fresh page. There we go. Well, I shouldn't have done that with my birth certificate. Anyway, and now...
Now you're in French Uruguay.
That's right.
Welcome to
Mais oui, monsieur. All right. So, Dave, why don't you tell us what's been going on with you?
What's been going on with me? Well, nothing's been going on with me, but this happened to me yesterday. My mom called me up, and the first thing she said, well, because my mom works in two communication systems. One is nagging, and the other is accusing. So
the old N.A.
Yes, that's right. So this wasn't a nag. It was an accusation because she said to me, maybe this was a nag. She goes, you know your dad was going in for a heart test today, right? I said, I knew he was going in for an exam. I didn't know when it was. Because honestly, I didn't know. To be actually really honest, I didn't know. I forgot he was going in for the heart thing. Mm-hmm. I did know that because they were going to go on a cruise around Great Britain. They're going to go to Ireland, Orkneys, like Scotland, and then down to the north of France. But they had to cancel it because my dad's had some heart problems.
Okay.
So he was going in for an amniogram, I think it's called.
Right.
And so he actually went in yesterday and he got the test done. And they said, okay, you have 99% blockage of a major artery going into your heart.
Oh, geez.
So you're going to have surgery today.
Good. Okay.
So
not good, but good.
Yeah, good that they caught it.
Good that they caught it. Yeah. This is what you want. You want.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, he went in for surgery yesterday at 5. And I guess the first thing they did is they remove like some veins from your leg.
Yes.
To use for your bypass. So
that's right.
They took out some veins from his leg and then they cracked him open and worked on his heart.
Okay.
And so, yeah, he's in the cardiac ICU. I came here to see you, dropped by to see
him. Now, was your father in surgery at the point that your mom called?
No, I think he was out by then.
And so he'd already been through surgery?
Yeah, he'd already been through surgery when she called.
Okay. All right.
And
so she's calling from the hospital then, probably?
No, she's calling from home.
All right.
Because my mom does not own a cell phone, which is a problem because she dropped him off in the morning thinking that he was just going to have this amniogram and he was going to call her when he was ready to get picked up.
Right.
So she went home and then I guess she went out and did some stuff and they're trying to call her, but she wasn't there and she doesn't have a cell phone. So they couldn't reach her to tell her that dad was going in for surgery.
Okay. Well, and let's just say now she has a cell phone, right? She's going to get
She's going to get a cell phone.
Yeah, yes. That's how
she
this
learned,
works.
She learned a valuable lesson.
Right. Or just a pager.
A pager. Remember when those were the thing?
Do you know how they still can be the thing that's easy? That you can do it. Yeah, there you go.
I guess you could.
You definitely could. Yeah. All you need is that, and then you go to a payphone, which do still exist.
Yes.
And there you go. Or you go to any place and go, like, my husband's in the hospital. Can I call you? And then they go, yes, you can.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because you're an older lady and we believe you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then she steals her money for meth.
Yeah.
It's my mom. I forgot that's her third way of communicating. Hi. So, So yeah, so maybe she was trying to like take the, because she probably felt guilty about this. Mm-hmm. So she's trying to kind of push the guilt down the line.
Now, I just want, okay.
Because David didn't remember that
was going on the big scale. And I'm not accusing your mom of nothing. Yeah. But let's go on the big scale of
sure. Who
did something wrong today.
Yes.
Now, is it you raising a family, going to work,
yeah.
doing all the dad things you do?
Yeah, okay.
Flaw for not remembering
yeah.
your dad's going for an exam that you would have nothing to do with,
yeah.
or her going and doing some shopping and having no way of being in contact with him while he's going through open heart surgery.
Yeah.
Okay, so of those two, you need a good talking to young man.
Exactly.
All right, yeah. You get your act together.
Listen, Dave.
Working and raising a family. Okay, please do. All right.
So
and your animal abuse.
When she talked to me, she didn't have much. She didn't have much detail to give me because. It's a common thing when someone tells you, you know, when things are bad and people tell you about it, pretty much your mind shuts down and you hear like a very general outline of what's happening and the rest of it is just so much gibble gabble. So she didn't know very much. Like, so it wasn't till today that I was talking to her that she found out that it was 99% blocked, that he could have had a heart attack at any time and died right away. And there was he would have had a chance. Not even Johnny Gage and Roy DeSoto could have saved him with the defibrillator.
Right.
That's an emergency reference, everyone. Because it was just like, I guess it would just be too traumatic for the heart with that kind of blockage to.
Now, before this time, what was the exam that your dad had before this, though? Like, I'm trying to think, like, this seems pretty extreme that.
Well, he's already had heart problems. He's on a blood thinner.
Right.
And he's been on that for quite a few years. And that happened because when he was golfing, he would feel faint, I think.
Okay.
Or something. I can't quite remember the details of it now, but he didn't feel very well when he was golfing. When he was doing physical activity, yes, golfing counts as physical activity.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't feel very well. And so they put him onto some, you know, like warfarin or something like that, where it thins your blood. And so, I think they were thinking it was like angina, which I don't know what it is, but I think he was having a little bit of pain around his chest, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously why? Because his heart was short for oxygen. And so,
I mean, it's a drag to have pain, but it's good to have pain that tells you that something, because it's so often exactly. with stuff like this, it goes with
there's
nothing.
There's no warning
until it's time.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, it's kind of like when I had cancer. I mean, I did have warnings, but everyone ignored it until, you know, it had gone so far, mm-hmm. you know, that it was really dangerous. But if earlier on, if it had been caught in the early stages, it would have been a relatively simple cancer to clear up. But yeah, so with my dad, yeah, so he went in. And right away, yep, just into the hospital that day, operation, and now he's really stoned. I just saw him and was looking at his the little chip monitor, the monitors that control the amount of fluid he's getting of various, because he had five different bags delivering fluid into him.
Five bags to the wind.
Yes, and one of them was still out. It said on the marker, and I was like, ah, that explains why he's a little having some trouble remembering details like who I am.
Was that something that you ever used?
No, I was on morphine.
Okay.
Dilaudid is heroin.
Okay.
They're all opiates, but Dilaudid is closer to heroin. I think it's what Elvis Presley used. It was his pill of choice.
Dilaudid's, oh, yeah. It's pretty cool.
I guess.
That makes it cool, right?
Until you die on the toilet because you're totally constipated from taking Dilaudid.
You know what the trick is? Never poop. That was Elvis's big mistake. People don't realize that. If you just held it in,
he had one less grilled peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Yeah, you look at Chuck Berry. That guy just never poops.
Yeah,
I mean that's why he's got the fetish for everyone else who does, because he can't do it himself. Because he knows if he ever does,
he's
gonna do a full Elvis.
Yes. So
that's the world of rock and roll.
That's it. Just either go out like Elvis or go out like Lennon.
So you went and you visited your dad, and did he recognize you?
Oh, yeah. He knew who I was. Yeah. Yeah.
And did he blame you as well?
It's that usual. No. It's that usual thing when you see someone in the hospital, though, is you're like, oh, my God, who is this person? Who is this gray, frail person laying in bed all covered with tubes? And, like, I know that, when I was talking to my mom this morning, she said, oh, yeah, he looks bad, but you looked worse. And I don't know why that was important to tell me, but I looked worse.
Oh, you looked worse?
Yeah, in
like
the hospital.
Earlier that day.
Yes, that's right. When she saw me earlier that day.
Yeah, you're no pretty picture.
Yeah.
Hey, you're no Clooney. Look at, before you start judging your old man.
That's right.
Let me tell you, Uggo.
She said, yeah.
You know, she really does have a couple of bad modes.
If you
modes.
Had brushed your hair. No, she just meant when I was in the hospital for my operations.
Right.
It was more, but I think, I don't know, I thought my dad looked bad, but I think everyone does, because when you're picturing a person in the hospital.
You had your, first of all, you were cut open.
Yeah.
And he's cut open.
Yeah.
You get cut open, you look bad.
You look bad.
Yeah, it's not a fucking, they don't have the fashion show for people who've just been sliced open.
But it's funny, because in your mind, you can't picture the person you're visiting that way. They're your dad laying in bed.
Oh, it's jarring as hell. Yeah.
So when you walk in, you have to make this big shift in your mind of, oh, that's dad. Because I walked over and I was like, did I just walk over to the wrong, because it's kind of dim in there too. And I was like, did I just walk over to the wrong bed? Because he didn't really recognize me at first. It took him a moment to focus on me. And he knew it was me. He didn't think I was a robot who'd come to question him.
Yeah.
So.
Well, good for you not wearing your robot outfit. That's a cruel thing to do
to
somebody.
I'm not going to do that to my dad.
It's the second cruelest thing you can do. Well, it's the third cruelest. The third cruelest, dress as a robot and say, welcome to the future.
Yeah.
You've been asleep 100 years. That's the cruelest.
Okay,
third cruelest. Second cruelest, dress as an angel. Show up and just go, hello.
Yeah.
And then go, psych.
Yeah.
First cruelest, dress as the devil.
Okay.
And show up and go, we've been expecting you, wah-ha-ha, and rub your hands. That's the meanest of them all. Also, you can dress as an ape. Also,
no, that's bad. The fourth one would be to clear out the hospital and then have everyone dress as zombies, shambling around. He's woken up post-zombie apocalypse.
Well, that's why I have a thing on my healthcare card, which is in case of zombie apocalypse, pull the plug. That's what I say. Like, because you don't want that. Like, in case, because, you know, I've seen 28 Days Later and I've seen Walking Dead.
Sure.
And in both of those cases, hey, doc, while you're running for your life, do a little Yankee on the plug. That's fine. But please, if you could, also poke me in the head.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to come back as a frickin' zombie.
Yeah.
Or maybe I do. Maybe there'll be a cure for zombieism later. And maybe I do want to, really have my time there. I don't want to be, eating people and stuff.
I think by the time they came up with a cure, You wouldn't want to be cured.
Do you know what I would say? Well, you don't know, because, you know, you could just have a couple of...
Well, have you seen what zombies look like?
Right, but they could have an insurer, a boost, you know, and, like, really get the fat back going on you. Like,
what about
like that
part where your mouth is missing and so you can see your teeth?
No. Well, your only reason your mouth is missing is because something tore. Like, what you want to do is you want to be, like, on a hospital bed, but you want to be strapped down.
Okay.
Okay, so you come back...
This is getting really particular. Well, let me just... I think you're...
No, I've thought this through. Let me explain this to you.
No, I don't think you have.
So, you... Okay, you tell me the flaw in my plan here.
Okay.
Okay, you come back as a zombie.
Yeah.
So you're... Now, as you're strapped down, there's no chance you're going to eat anybody.
Yeah.
So that's nice. Mm-hmm. So you got no guilt.
No guilt, yeah, no guilt.
All right. Now, the zombies are not going to eat you because you are a zombie. So no problem. Also, things are not going to make you decay because you're a zombie and they will not eat you. Like, they will not get you. So you're just going to lie there.
Don't you think that happens anyway?
What, the decaying stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they don't have... Okay,
like,
sorry.
Maggots are going to form and stuff
like
that.
No, no. Have you ever seen a zombie film where there's maggots on people? Never. Why? Maggots don't go with zombies.
I just think it's too expensive, a special effect.
You know what? Because I think it's decaying flesh.
They are decaying, though. You're dead.
You're decaying in a different way, though, that I think maggots just go, I don't want any of this business. Like,
what about zombie maggots? Like, I guess they wouldn't eat you because you're a zombie.
Well, they would have to bite each other, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
In order to do that. Now you're lying there, and so you're going to be there until there's a cure. Mm-hmm. And then once there's a cure, where are you? You're in the hospital. Who's first in line? Who has a bed already? Yeah. You do. And a healthcare card in your pocket. Bang, bang, you get the treatment. Or maybe you're the guy who they do the experimental treatment on because you're already strapped in. Let's just do it. And then you come back and you're all swell and swell. This is where all the zombie movies go, Dave. They all end up with the zombies getting cured in the end. If you keep going, your Romero's, that's what's happening
that's
now, right?
That's the next episode?
No, it was the last one. It was like whatever, Land of the Dead, where they start getting smart now again. So, yeah, you know, just hang in there. Hang in there, buddy, like the cat hanging from a tree.
I'll just tell you two objections I have to it. One is that before any of this happens, you'll have long been pushed into the incineration pile. By a bulldozer.
By who?
By the people.
Who's the people they're eating?
They're cleaning up the guy. Well, who's curing you? Other zombies?
No, you're just lying there. Like, the people have run.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. But who's inventing the cure? Like, is it a spontaneous cure?
Oh, okay. Well, Dave, here's the thing. You're going to have the people have run to the island.
Yeah.
That's where you go. Yeah. So they've gone to the island, and there's a doctor there.
Dr. Moreau.
Maybe.
He's turning them into animals.
You know, it's
part
some,
animal, part
why
human.
Why not? Maybe you don't get zombie animals.
Yeah.
Maybe animal blood cures this thing. Look, you're getting all smart ass, but like all of a sudden monkey hybrid guy is surviving. So that's fine. And now you can climb trees.
Okay.
What are you complaining about? They come back. They're going to fix you up. There's no point in incinerating you. And if they do, you're already dead, so who cares?
My second objection is that zombies don't exist because it's against science. You're worse than a creationist. I'm going to bring in Bill Nye to debate you on this.
The science guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Like there's another Bill
Actually,
Nye.
No,
Bill Nye, Bill, who just likes pie.
Bill Nye.
There's that guy. Bill, there's a different guy.
No, Bill Nye Speedwalker.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah.
I went to taping of Almost Live once, and he was taking the tickets at the door, and they all were numbered, and he would tell you math trivia as he picked up. Oh, this is the only number divisible by this and this and this. Oh, you know, this is the number that tungsten is. And every one of them was like a new thing. It was just like, we get it. You're a genius. We get it. You don't even need the lab coat.
He has an IQ of 100.
Kelvin.
That's right.
I don't even know if that's hot or not. That's probably not.
Trait, no.
That's probably not hot. So was any other family there today?
No, and which is okay because you're only allowed two visitors at a time. And it's really like there's like a nurse in like there's like a hospital table with covered with sheets and stuff like that. And there's a nurse who sits there right like at the head of, or the foot of his bed.
Mm-hmm.
Just him, like a nurse.
To make sure everything's okay.
Make sure everything's okay,
good.
That's good.
That's good healthcare.
I know, it's awesome. I was glad to see that because they said that, well, the first 24 hours are the most critical.
Right.
So he's past that point now. He's obviously, well, I guess not because his operation started at 5, so I'm not too sure when it finished. Mm-hmm. So I guess he's still within that time. But yeah, he's in a lot of discomfort.
Yeah. I mean, you've opened your chest.
Oh, yeah, it hurts. And no amount of Dilaudid or morphine or whatever can take it away.
I mean, it's again, painful. When you were cut open, it hurts.
It hurts, but the problem was the second time is they under-prescribed me for the morphine. Because what they did was they went on what I had the first time. But the first time I had not been through chemo and I hadn't already had a stomach operation and all the rest of it. So I was much weaker. I was in a way weaker condition when I went the second time. And so everything was worse the second time through.
Ugh.
And so then I was in incredible pain. but they couldn't up my dosage because they had to contact the doctor to approve it. And so it was like late at night, you know, it was 2 a.m. or whatever. And so they're having trouble getting in contact with this doctor. He wasn't answering his pager is the thing.
Which would have been the thing back
then.
Yeah,
would have been for sure. And so, yeah, it was very painful because you try to relax because when it hurts is when your muscles contract.
Okay.
But if you just relax, it doesn't hurt as much. I mean, it still hurts. It's still a dull pain.
Right.
But as soon as your muscles contract, but the reason your muscles contract is because they're in pain. So you can't stop
them.
So
just relax.
Yeah. And then they get.
While you're in pain.
Yeah.
Just relax.
And then suddenly without warning, contract.
Yeah.
Absolute sheer pain.
So your problem was mostly irony.
How do you mean?
In that the thing that you have to do to not be in pain is the thing that is the opposite of what you feel.
Well, I mean, it worked when I could do it, but when my body just decided that it wanted to contract, I had no way to control it from happening.
Right.
Because you don't, your muscles have been cut in half.
Right.
So you have no way to control them. You can't flex them. You can't.
Right. Which muscles do not like.
Yes. They don't like being cut in half. They're really against it.
Yeah. They're kind of against modern medicine.
It's against the union rules.
Yeah, because they're not unified.
They're not
anymore.
Unified.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's totally against you. Yeah. Here's the one thing: like when my dad was
looking at my stitching.
Yeah,
they're like scab.
That's very well played. So when I remember, like when I was seeing my dad in the hospital when he had cancer and he passed away about 14 years ago. Like I remember like going in there and just going, hospitals are terrible. Like they're terrible. Like this, I mean, good for like I think the Canadian healthcare system is a good system, and I think doctors are fine, the nurses are fine, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the design of hospitals just feels like I don't understand it. Like I understand you want to make things
as efficient and clean as possible.
You want things as clean as possible, but there's got to be a certain point where you go like the color of these walls is awful. For like it just looks, it makes everyone look worse. Mm. Everyone looks shitty.
Yeah.
Like, are there other lights you could use? Is there anything that can make this all more comfortable? You don't want to make it a hotel.
Yeah.
But God, there must be something in between this and that. It just looked like, well, this is a miserable fucking place to be. Like,
well,
I know
is...
you want to leave and you should want to leave.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, there's people who are stuck here who can't leave. Is there anything we can do to not make this like so crap?
Well, it depends where you are. I mean, when I was in the cancer clinic, we had very nice rooms there.
Okay.
And they, like, because where my dad is now, there's a window, but he can't see it because there's a curtain between him and the person next to him who is right by the window. So he can't look, you know, turn his head and see the windows. So the only light he has is the lighting in the room, which they don't want to make too bright because he's dozing. He's not, you know, they don't want to have this light shining in his eyes. So they keep it dim, but they have to have some light because the nurses are looking at the monitors or taking his
pulse
and
temperature.
I mean, I just thought,
like, when I was there, like, even if I was fully healthy and I was in this environment for like a week, I would feel miserable. I would feel sick in this kind of space. Yeah, it's a shitty space.
The
curtains, I go like, these curtains could be better in between people.
Yeah.
Like, they seemed a little transparent-y for me, you know? There's just...
Okay.
There's got to be something.
You might be getting a bit picky there, but...
Mate, well, I don't want to see the other dude. Like, and I don't want him to see me, right? Mm. Like, we want... There's a couple of we want a little privacy with our privacy screen. Am I wrong?
Well, to be honest, it's the last thing you're worried about.
Privacy?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it depends. If you're starting to get better, I think you don't want to be showing your bum to the person, to a stranger.
Well, it is what it is. You know, I was in a 4-person room when I was going through it, when I had my stomach operations.
Yeah.
And actually, they did put me into a kind of semi-private room for my second one. I don't know why. They moved me from off the general area. Maybe because I was so dopey and being weird that they decided to move me somewhere they could have more control over
me. The other guys just all chipped in.
That's right.
Stop me from get him something nice.
Getting out of bed and doing things. But yeah, no, it's weird. Like when Lisa's dad went through his bypass surgery, he started hallucinating. And what's weird is with him, like he had the like actually kind of think my dad had the better deal. Because with Peter, with my wife's dad, I had to take him to the hospital for an orientation session. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why it was me. I had to book a day off work, and he has 2 children. But anyway, so I drove him.
Sounds
in.
Like you're easily guilted.
I don't know. I didn't mind. So I drove him
and
in.
And now you just take it all out on the dogs.
That's right. Chopstick! So then I had to drive him to this orientation thing, and then they tell you like what are you gonna expect, and you have to watch like a movie about having like the surgery done and how you'll how you'll have like limited mobility after for a while and blah, blah, blah. And they talk about how you have to clean yourself. And before you come in, you have to wash yourself in a particular way. Mm-hmm. You have to wash some areas first and some areas second and one area last because it's not such a clean area. And just things like
now,
that.
Now, are you watching this film with him?
Yeah. Yeah.
How's that feel? Good to be watching that with your father-in-law? Well, or it doesn't matter?
Well, my feeling about that stuff is, why are we doing this? Like, who cares? I'm going to get I'm getting heart surgery done. What the fuck do I have to do? I know all these things. I don't care. Like, well, I'll get it when it happens.
Okay, but you have to know, like, how to wash up for...
Yeah, that stuff. You can give me a piece of paper.
I agree with that.
You don't need to go down to the hospital and spend... it was 6 hours we were there.
Like, it feels like you could actually...
Here's your bed. This is the kind of bed you'll be in.
My wife just made an IKEA chair, and they have... they do not have words. They just have the drawings of, like, do
that's
this.
That's pretty easy to do.
Well,
it's a chair.
I'm not talking about a chair. I'm going to lead to some.
Sure, okay.
Like, if you had those same kind of instructions for the things you have to do before your, you know, surgery or whatever, that's all you need. You don't need to watch a movie with your son-in-law. Like, that feels weird to me about how you're going to wash yourself in what areas with your son-in-law.
Yeah, it's kind of odd.
It is.
But I feel the same way, like, when Lisa
As you're doing a Mystery Science Theater next to him.
That's right. I couldn't help it.
Why'd you bring the puppets?
Tom Servo and Crow were with me. I pretended I was Joel. Hey, Joel. He's my favorite.
Sure.
And so...
you're explaining that to your father.
Yeah, I had to say that to him. Why are you in the red jumpsuit, Dave, with Joel on it? He's my favorite.
I like Mike. Well, I don't even... Good day, sir.
Oh, Mike's good, too, but...
Stop.
Joel's the first one I watched.
Can we show the film now, fellas?
So,
well, what theme song do we sing? I don't know. What season? Sorry, continue.
I was going to say, because what it reminded me of was when Lisa was pregnant for the first time. I don't know if I told this story before, but we were supposed to go to like a thing about pregnancy, like a similar thing, like kind of orientation. You know, it's like you had a book like, so you're pregnant?
So you've done it now.
That's right. That's right. Way to go, motherfucker. And I mean that literally.
Yeah, that's in brackets, so it's not offensive.
That's right.
You had really kind of a thug doctor thing going on.
That's what they kept calling me.
Sup,
at
bitches?
The hospital. Hey, motherfucker. So, but I wasn't working on the fishing boat at that time, so we couldn't go to like the kind of all couples together thing. Mm-hmm. So, but I had a weekend where I was able to come back home, and so I came back, and so they took this moment to spring on us. This district nurse came, and she brought us this video. This is how long ago it was. She had a videotape, and she put it into her video player. And then we had to watch a half an hour of the most horrifying thing I've ever seen. And when it was over, I said to the lady, that was terrible. You shouldn't show that to people. Because it's bad enough being pregnant.
Yeah.
Like when you're pregnant, no one comes up to you and says, oh, you know, my sister-in-law, she was in labor for about an hour and the baby popped out. It was really easy. No one says that. You never hear that story when you're pregnant. The stories you hear are, oh, my sister-in-law, she was in labor for 72 hours. And when she gave birth, it had tentacles. That's the kind of story you hear. So you hear all these horrible stories.
Oh, that's
about
the
pregnancy.
Octomom you're talking about.
Yeah. You hear all these horrible stories and you never. And then what are they going to. Then they show you this video, this like horrifying thing of women screaming in pain.
What do you think their thoughts are? What do you think the positive they are presenting to you is?
I don't know.
So you don't.
You better get ready?
So you don't afterwards go, you never told me and I'm suing. Like, is that it? Like,
I don't
I'm
going
to show you everything so you won't have anything to complain about?
I think the tape is called It's Too Late for an Abortion Now. So you better get ready.
Yeah.
Shit's getting real. Like, I don't know. Like,
well, once again, your thug doctor is terrible to give you that.
Like, I don't want to be mean to women because women are beautiful. Even pregnant women. But you know they get
What do you mean even? Okay, wait. I'm going to back this up. Like you're
you don't feel attractive.
No, you're in trouble. You're
woman,
in trouble. You're in trouble right now.
You don't feel
you're in trouble. I'm going to dig you out of this hole.
Okay.
When you say even pregnant women, you mean
of course pregnant women.
As well.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Okay.
Of course. Even though they get this weird
Oh, don't go with the even.
Even though they get this weird growth of hair.
I've tried my best.
From them up to their belly button.
Of course they do.
It's just their body changes.
Right.
But
it's just, you know what that is?
I don't want to stare at it in a video.
Just to let people know where
that's
to go.
That's right, exactly.
Like, where do I go from
here's
here?
Where to look.
Yeah, this way
right.
up
in
is
case
the way it goes.
Well, because, you know, if you have a thug doctor, he needs some help.
Yeah.
He's too busy rolling with his fingers in particular gang symbol styles and driving in really slowly with his seat.
Yeah, that's the problem. Reclined. He does drive to the hospital very slowly
with loud bass music playing in his car.
And then he's like, just get the bitch in the back seat. Then she does. Then you do the old hydraulic lift and then it just comes right out.
The baby comes right out after 72 hours and it has tentacles.
Where is this tentacle stuff?
Oh, I just, you know, because you never hear happy stories. No. No one ever says the baby was beautiful, came out fine.
I was just picturing, by the way, when you were saying you were on the fishing boat when all this should have been going on, like you're just practicing Lamaze with the fellas on the boat.
That's right.
Just like, hey, guys,
yeah.
Look, you gotta do me a solid. If you could just pretend to be my wife
yeah.
and just do some breathing with me.
That's true. I cut a little slit in the groin of the other deckhand's pants.
Yeah.
And then we just pull the fish out. And that way, it kind of gave a sense of what the birth was going to be like.
And just like.
As it turned out.
Sorry, Charlie.
As it turned out, Lisa had to have a C-section anyway. So
all that
practice was for nothing.
Well, you said to her.
Fucking video was for nothing,
too. By the way, honey, you know, all my time on the fishing boat, I can just do this one.
Yeah.
If it's a C-section, you're talking to the C-man here. Let me just do a little slicey.
I've been at sea.
That's right.
I'm still at sea.
We're all at sea.
We're all at sea.
No, that's terrible. You shouldn't be showing. Like, you know what
well,
you should do?
Still, like,
you get Jim Henson to do a little Muppet version, and then it's adorable and it's in felt and it shows you everything, but that's enough.
Yeah.
Or animate it. You know, then you're fine. You do it like Schoolhouse Rock style, have a little music and comes out and it's all fine.
Well, you know, when I had cancer, then they gave me the videotape, the orientation tape, you know, it just showed me dying of cancer.
It showed you specifically?
No, it did not.
Okay, one, I'm glad you got the acting gig. But you know what?
That's right. We need someone with cancer. Oh, he has it.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? Like, because obviously when they do those, you must have an actor.
Yeah.
And one of those actors must have at some point got the disease that they're doing in the thing.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, it's like, well, hey, you look just like a guy who's got cancer. We kind of cast you. Then later, oh, by the way, the reason you look like that. And then he's got to watch the video and it's him.
Yeah.
Ugh, oh, rough.
Boy. That would be bad.
Yeah,
I don't think you'd have to. I think you'd say, you know what? I did this.
But in the cancer video, they didn't show you.
No, they
someone
didn't have
dying.
A cancer
video.
I'm just joking. Okay, there was good. No cancer video.
All right.
I don't. Why do you want to have that? Like,
so you don't have to say everything to the person.
I think,
maybe.
No, because my opinion of any kind of thing like that is ignorance is bliss. And my dad said to me when I was at the hospital.
To a degree.
Yes, and
I like with dental work knowing what's coming up.
Well. What's coming up? But you don't want to have. But you wouldn't be told beforehand how painful it was.
Okay, well,
and then it was going to be really. Your mother's going to be really sore.
Okay, I gotcha. But here's the thing: like when I went through. All right, now again, I don't have the big. I've never been to the hospital for the big thing. Only for the emergency.
Yeah,
things.
You know what? I had cancer again.
Uh huh.
I think that ends the argument.
Oh, you're playing the old cancer card, are you? All right, there you go. Well done. But when I went to get the LASIK surgery, let's go with that. And they told me everything that would happen.
Yeah.
That was okay, because then I knew everything that was happening. And like I go, step by step, I know what's coming up. Mm-hmm. I know when this will be done.
Sure.
Now, when I went...
But would you want to watch a video of it happening?
I did.
Oh,
they showed a video beforehand.
Of,
yeah, you actually...
Of the thing burning the eye and everything?
Yeah. Like, well, they show the slicing and they show how it works. Yeah. Huh. And I was like, okay, I got it.
I wouldn't want to see that.
Okay, that's fair. I did because I wanted to know what was going to happen. Now, cut to your eye. No, but then later on, I'm having problems with my. It's the thing where I was going blind a while ago.
Yeah,
and one of the first times
because of the light.
Racked up like a deuce, another runner in the night. Yeah. Right, we're very old, Dave. These references are terrible. Very sorry about Captain and Tennille breaking up, everybody. All right, so...
love couldn't keep them together.
No, not even muskrat love, which is what Richard Gere was accused of. Anyway, so, again, the older the
wrapped
reference, the sweeter the fruit.
Into the... Okay.
Yeah. Oh, boy, I don't even like where this is going. But, okay, so when
you started
I'm having problems with my vision, I go, they run some tests, and then I go in to see this ophthalmologist, and he goes, okay, what we're going to do, we're going to give you a quick injection. It's like, don't worry about it, won't hurt at all.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. And I didn't, and it hurt like nobody's business. Now, if he had just told me this is going to be, it's going to sting a bit. Even one of those, like just explain it to me. But I didn't know what the deal was. So I'm getting a needle in the old eye and I don't know what's coming. And then that's terrifying because your body all of one goes, hell no. Mm. And I actually punch the guy in the gut while I'm doing the thing.
But
now,
he didn't tell you he's going to put a needle in your eye?
Yeah, he did. But he didn't tell, he told me like, it's all completely numb. You will feel nothing.
Oh, okay.
And wrong.
Yeah,
like just tell me what the
fuck. Usually they say you'll feel a little something here.
Yeah, no, didn't. And I did. And and so he did, and I feel terrible about that. But yeah, like, so I guess I'm of the preference.
He got what he deserved.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see it both ways.
Yeah.
But I, you know what I think? Like, the thing with the videotape does is it stops the doctor from having to have a talk with you for 20 minutes plus questions. You know, it just like just show him the tape.
I didn't want to know. I just don't see the point of it, really. I mean, maybe people do have questions. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, your dad obviously did not get the tape.
No, he didn't get anything.
He got
thrown in the deep end.
He got the quick walk over to the here.
Yeah.
And like, can we reach your wife? No, she lives in the 1950s, has no ability.
Yeah.
And she's a lady, so she's not allowed to have a phone of her own.
She's making a gelatin salad right now.
That's right. With chicken in it. Mm. Ugh, gelatin salads, huh? Ugh. I mean, we're old, but that's old. Huh?
That is so old. But Mike, we have them at dinner still. Like, not at dinner, but we have them at Thanksgiving or Christmas.
With meat in them?
Not with meat in them, but you know, those kind of gelatin with whatever. I don't even know. I've never tasted them.
You've never had one?
Maybe when I was younger, but I don't.
I just like a straight.
They always seem repulsive.
I like a Jello, yeah. But once, yeah, I had it once where they threw meat in it and it was just, well, this is the worst thing you've ever had. Like, there's no excuse.
Yeah.
Just starve at that point. Just be hungry. Then that is better than eating this.
Can I just ask you a question?
Of course you can.
Do you know what an ophthalmologist is?
That's what I... Okay, go ahead.
It's a Spanish ophthalmologist. Speakers of Spanish will love that joke. I just put that in there for them.
Okay.
That's the...
Hola to our Spanish
Hola.
Listeners.
That's right. Hola.
Hola?
Yeah.
All right, whatever you say.
Don't pronounce the H.
Dave,
yeah.
I am married to a Latina lady.
Yes, you are.
So I'm
you
not
should know
be,
that.
I'm
you
not
going to no
be
excuse.
Taking this. I'm not taking this.
Did you not
you.
Watch the orientation tape before you got married?
Orientation? I thought you said she was Latina. Dave, I am playing the Latina wife card right now.
And yet you still said hola.
Maybe.
Did you not watch
And
Dora
by the
Explorer?
Way, the orientation thing, I also have many Chinese people in my family, mm-hmm. so I can play that card as well.
Yes.
And I believe I have won this game of racial Uno.
Yeah, I'm pretty white bread in my family. Mm-hmm. Pretty damn white bread. Scottish.
That is
I'm
going to
play the Scottish card. Oh, there is no card because they didn't want to pay any money for it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ach.
Ach.
And so
That's
on.
That's the other C card, the cheap card.
Well, let's just say this about that. Let's all just be healthy for this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to be healthy in the future.
Yeah.
Well, let's all just make a deal. Everyone here, no one get hurt.
Yeah.
And no one gets sick. I've had too many friends of mine, like, this week and stuff with sickness and bad stuff. So now everyone, settle down. We're all going to just be healthy for this year. And that includes you, listeners. I don't want to hear you guys are getting sick as well. If you are, you can tell us. But just stay healthy.
Yes.
Stay well.
Please phone the Sneaky Dragon prayer line, and we will put you on our list.
Right. Well, it's more of a pager system that
Dave has.
It's more
of a pager, yeah. It'll page me, and then I'll put you onto the prayer list. Yeah.
So we've had one person, by the way, saying they're down with our contest. Not a contest.
We've had two
but
people.
Our field trip.
I've had.
Oh,
I was contacted.
Two?
I was DM'd that someone else was.
You had some Robitussin DM.
I had someone know.
Passed out and saw a person.
That's right. A dungeon master contacted me and said.
Okay. We're doing
I'm
a lot
interested.
Of initial based comedy. Aren't we today?
It's that kind of time of year.
We used to have
it's
lists.
February
we did a lot of lists.
February the 6th,
yeah.
Day of the initials.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me explain what the field trip is for
UND.
Those of our, for our listeners that don't remember or are new or what have you.
Yeah.
What we're looking at doing is we're looking at going to Portland.
There are no new listeners.
Only Zool. we will go to Portland and you will spend a day with David. He'll take you around his favorite book and record stores and perhaps go to Voodoo Donuts and have a little donuts.
Oh, we have to go there.
There you go. So it's basically Dave, who is from Portland, who loves Portland, hates the series Portlandia. We'll take you around his Portland and give you a little field trip. And you know what? If you show up, we'll give you all like Sneaky Dragon t-shirts. We'll make a real thing of it.
Yep.
It'll be fun. You'll go maybe have a cup of coffee. Dave will not drink coffee in front of you. He's a closet coffee drinker. He'll be drinking Coca-Cola in front of you. But like then he just like slinks off and has the old Jabba Joe by himself. But it's a private thing.
Right.
And he writes his poetry.
Can't even
and plays his jazz flute.
Play my jazz flute. That's
which
right.
is slang for masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
I knew.
So, so anyway, if you're interested in doing that, sorry I mentioned masturbation because it really doesn't make it feel like you want to go with Dave now. But we're looking to do like a little field trip, and so if you're interested in that, let us know. We've had apparently two people now, so a second person has contacted you.
Yeah, Mike Roberts.
Oh, and they said
I'm in.
Nice.
He said I'm in. Then he said lol. So I don't think he's taking you very seriously on this.
So this was online, hopefully, and he wasn't just saying
that.
Yeah, he
didn't
that sounds
say
like
it to
he's having
personally.
A stroke.
No,
if someone actually goes lol, then they're not laughing out loud. It's tongue, hold the tongue down. It's time.
He sent me a message. Future guest Mike Roberts sent me a message.
Okay.
And said, I'm in for the Portland trip. Lol.
Well, now here's another thing about that. Mike Roberts is a celebrity.
Yes.
He has been on your Stargates, your Addams Families, your everything else.
Supernatural.
Frankly. Your Supernaturals.
Psych. I just saw him in Psych a little bit.
Ask him about Psych. Ask him about Supernatural. Yeah. Ask him about those shows. Yeah. So you got here. You got Dave. You got Donuts.
He was sort of the stunt double or the stand-in double for Martin Short as Jiminy Glick in that Jiminy Glick film.
Boom, there.
He has lots of good Martin Short stories.
Boom, there. He's got a lot of short stories for you.
Yes, that's right.
So here's the thing. You're in Portland, one of the most beautiful cities in the world. You're getting donuts. You're getting good expertise from Dave on like good books and stuff. And you are with a celebrity who will tell you stories through this whole time.
Yeah.
Of your Martin Shorts. He'll tell you your Supernatural behind the scenes, your Psych behind the scenes. Tell you what Morticia's really like on the Addams Family. You know, a lot of good gossip. Yeah. The guy's a good talker. So that alone would be enough. But like, we're trying to gather a couple more people together and we're going to see if we can do this.
You're crazy.
I know, but it's fun. It's a fun thing to do. Who doesn't want a field trip? And maybe like in the springtime, but a beautiful time to be going to Portland and like just go for the donuts alone, man. Like, donuts, come on. Good. Any of these aspects would be perfect on their own.
There's a few good places to eat there for sure.
Are you still watching Supernatural?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know there's a spinoff show coming?
Oh, the Ghost?
Something. I know there's a Supernatural spinoff coming.
Wow, that sounds interesting. I have actually not seen a lot of this season because I'm supposed to watch it with Mary.
Okay.
I mean, Millis, darn it. And I'll edit that.
Greatest spy in the world.
I missed the orientation tape for spying. So yeah, I'm supposed to be watching with Millis, and Millis has been very busy. And when she's not busy, she's in her room watching movies rather than watching
Supernatural. Not with her old father. Man.
Whereas with Phyllis, you know, we've been watching Teen Wolf. We've been watching all the shows we like to watch. Grimm.
Right. All the guys doing push-ups.
Yeah. That's the other reason we like going to Portland, is because that's where Grimm is filmed. So we keep looking for Nick and Monroe. And is that person a Fesson?
Has Mike Roberts been on Grimm?
No, because that's filmed in Portland.
But has he been on once? I bet he has. I'm going to bet probably.
I'm going to have to ask him.
He seems like the kind of fella who'd be on that show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's your, that's another fairy tale based show.
Mm-hmm.
Basically all the shows now are fairy tale based.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. They're fairy tale. The fairy tale is that people will watch them.
I think Hannibal is teaming up with Peter Pan this season on his show. They're just really combining it up.
There's that fairy tale show Banshee.
Is that a show for real?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of,
it's not a fairy tale show.
It's not a fairy tale show? Well, Banshee is like,
I know,
a fairy
it's just
tale.
A town's name. So is this a weird kind of
why are you fooling me? Why are you fooling me like that?
You know, it's easy. You're easily fooled by me.
You know, I'm trying to be... I know you've gone through a rough time in the last 2 days. I'm trying to be sympathetic. And what do I get from it? I get the emotional chopstick thrown at me.
Chopstick!
You know, eventually you'll just have to yell the word chopstick and the dog will either run or realize it's a pit bull.
Maybe.
And then you'll be killed.
That's a possibility too.
Yes.
I don't think he's a killing kind of dog, to be honest with
you. No, pit bulls are actually quite gentle if, you know, trained correctly at
Yeah, no,
first.
He's a real sweetheart. He's the only thing he does now that's kind of like growling is he'll go up to you because he wants to get petted, and he'll come up and he'll kind of go at you for you to pet him.
Oh, that's a terrible thing, way of getting petted.
Yeah, he doesn't quite understand that that's not, you don't threaten people to pet me right now.
Right. That's also how you used to ask girls to dance.
Dance with me right now!
Yeah.
Dance with me now.
Yeah, up to that point, you sound like half Bob Hope. and then the weird mood swing.
Yeah, throwing you again, is it?
Yeah, a little bit. I like chopstick. Sorry, I like you throwing the chopstick. That does make me laugh. I apologize.
You apologize to Al.
I do. I saw you earlier this week with Mike.
Yes.
Roberts. You came to the Gentleman Heckler show.
I did.
Speaking of people who are, again, enough people being sick. I'm done with it.
Yeah.
My friend Toby, who has Toby been on this show? Or
yes, Toby. Toby's been on the show.
All right. Our friend Toby lost a little bit of a finger this week in a garage accident. Enough of that. We don't want that anymore.
I think we're on show 17 or something.
Yeah. Like, you know, so, and a guy who's not been on the show, but I've been on his show, Patrick Maliha, he has got pneumonia from, you know, the horrible thing that I was coughing my lungs up.
Yeah.
for forever. So, you know, guys, stop it. But anyway, because Patrick was sick, he does a show called The Gentleman Hecklers with, again, we know everyone's been on this damn show, Eric Fell and Sean Stewart. And they asked me, hey, can you do the show? And I went, sure, how hard could it be? Dave.
What?
It was really hard.
It's a hard show to do?
Well, you know it. You've done your MST3K thing when you're watching your medical things with your puppets. And basically, Gentleman Hecklers is the same thing as Mystery Science Theater. Now, you might be saying at this point, well, that sounds like a ripoff. I don't like it. Yeah. Well, you want to know who does like it?
Who's that?
Joel.
Joel Hudson.
When Joel was retiring.
The originator of
Mystery Science Theater 3000. Yeah. When Joel was retiring, he was saying the type of thing that, you know, that this continues. This and it where does it continue? Yeah. It continues with the Gentleman Hecklers, who he really enjoys.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So there. So he has endorsed it. Tip of the hat. Everything's fine. Mm. But this meant I had to watch this movie called Bulletproof.
Yes.
With Gary
Busey. Yeah.
And
Henry Silva.
It was not a good film.
No.
It was not a good film at all. It's not the Adam Sandler,
Damon Wayans
film. Can I just
bring it around
film?
A little bit? Do you know who gave that film to Eric and Sean for that?
I think I do, but why don't you tell everybody?
Mike Roberts. He watched it and thought it was the perfect movie for the Gentleman Hecklers. So he
was correct, though the film made Sean very angry. It was so bad. And Sean is not quick to anger, but that slow boil.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. So, I had to watch this movie multiple times.
Yeah.
Had to write jokes about this movie.
Yeah.
And then you have to write down on a timer where those jokes are. Then we all had to meet like hours beforehand.
Yeah.
And like go over all our jokes and see, have you got a joke for 1 hour and 1 minute and 35 seconds?
Yeah.
No, I got one at 34 seconds. Yeah. What's your joke? What's my... Holy cow. And so watching the film and doing the live thing, you got to keep your eye on the clock.
Yeah.
Eye on the screen.
Yeah.
Eye on your notes. And by the end of it, you can never blink. So at the end of it, my eyes are just on fire, just burning. So much pain.
Wow.
But
I didn't realize it was so much. Because I think on Mystery Science Theater 3000, they did not actually watch the film. They just stared at a clock on the floor and then said their lines.
Oh, possibly.
Yeah.
That is possible.
Because theirs was just a green screen. And so that was put in after they filmed Weisenheimer antics.
You know what? I'm not sure about that because here's my problem with that.
Okay.
There's quite a few things that Joel used to do where he would reach up into the screen and like pet someone or see something.
Yeah, because there's a monitor on the floor, but it's not on the screen. Yeah.
Oh, of course you don't see it on the screen.
Yeah.
But I think they do see the movie playing while you're looking at the clock.
But they don't have to look up separately because you've made it more difficult for yourself.
And then they had the scrolling script
with
their lines on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had, because we're doing it ourselves, so I got an iPad in one hand. There's a phone with a clock on it next to me.
Yeah.
I got the screen up above. And and then occasionally you'll just improvise something. You got to give the guy next to you an elbow and just go, this is coming up, just letting you know so we don't talk over each other.
And so there's guys on both sides of you. So you're elbowing both of them?
Yeah, doing the old elbow room thing from Schoolhouse Rock. Yeah.
Yeah.
You did the double elbow and like, fellas, I got a gag coming up here. And then, oh, so hard. It was fun. Like, I'm glad. And but by the end of it, I was just like exhausted. And Eric said to me, you know, this is one of my favorite things to do. You know, when I first did this, I went, I want to do this for the rest of my life. And I just want to pat him on the back and go like, and good on you.
Really? So you wouldn't want to do it like as a constant thing?
No. No, I wouldn't. But I'm glad. I'm trying to do a thing now where I try things that people ask me to do. If I'm not completely out of the wheelhouse, I will try it.
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna. Someone just wrote me
because you've been trying Sneaky Dragon for quite a while.
Yeah, I'm not even sure about that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how I feel about it when we all go to Portland.
Mm.
I think that'll be the perfect time to break up. You and me have a little dinner at the old Voodoo Donuts. Get a little bacon donut. Like Dave.
Yeah.
I'm done, slam, and then I hand you a videotape explaining it.
Oh, good, thank you.
Yeah, just watch it. And
you
know what it is?
Standing in front of pregnant women giving birth.
I was just going, talking. It's just the pregnant women giving birth.
I thought you'd be there while they're giving birth. Dave, you know, I wanted to tell you this for a while, but I really don't think it's working the way it used to, you know. Kind of lost the flow of the show.
And the song, I'm Coming Out, will be playing. I'm coming out. I want the world to know. And then the head's crowning. It'd be, that's what's going to go on.
Sure.
Someone's just asked me, a friend of mine has just asked me if I want to do a show at the end of this month.
Okay.
And I'm a little scared, Dave, but I'm probably going to say yes to it.
Can you elucidate or is
it? I can. It's called, it's a show that started in Toronto.
Okay.
And it's been going on here.
Called We're the Best.
Yeah, that'd be a Toronto show.
Okay.
No, it's rap battles.
Oh.
So you rap in
you
character
rap.
As like, you know, so it's like.
So you're Eminem.
No, you would be like, say, Bill Nye, the science guy versus Albert Einstein.
Oh.
Or Bill Nye versus the creationist. You could also do that kind of thing. So
That's topical.
You've got to rap in character. So basically, you got to write all your rap. And you don't get a beatbox or anything. You just have to do it.
Oh, you don't get a...
No. So it's the most memorization-heavy comedy kind of show in town.
Yeah.
It's very... Yeah. And I've never really rapped before, so I'm terrified. But I think I'm going to do it, because what the hell?
Well, why not?
It's good to do some stuff you're scared of.
Sure. I disagree, but yeah, I'm all for that. I'm all for you putting yourself out there.
Well, you've overcome your fear of a pit bull in your house, so, you know, you've done many things.
That's right. I've so overcome it, I can throw a chopstick at him.
Maybe I should just bring chopsticks to throw at the audience if I get
scared. Yeah, things don't go well. That's the best thing to do. Chopstick!
I did another show recently called Bout Time that Brad McNeil, this fellow who's not been on our show, but maybe he should at some point in the future.
Sure. Future guest, Brad McNeil.
And the idea behind that is a competitive improv show, and the losing team can never play together again. You make a deal that you could never, ever play together again. So we lost. So
wow. Who decides who loses?
The audience.
Oh.
Yeah. What happens is there's a series of games in the first half. And then the people that win the most games get the most time to do an open scene or what they want in the second half.
Okay.
And then the audience votes on those two scenes and which one they like the best.
Oh.
So they liked us the least. And we had our sign destroyed. It was in styrofoam and it was destroyed. Yeah. And yeah, now I can't play with these two improvisers ever again.
Wow.
Harsh.
Did you feel like your scene was better than the other teams? Like, just be honest. Like, because, you know, the audience isn't always right. We have people who listen to this show, so we know the audience isn't always right.
What's better, Dave? What's better? You know,
I just mean, but for you, like, you know.
Here's the thing.
Like, did you go out did you say that's fair, or did you say we got...
Well, nothing's fair. Now, here's what happens. Let me explain what happens.
Okay.
If you have a competition of this kind, and it could also work for stand-up.
Sure.
Here's what goes on. You and I are competing, monologues, whatever it is.
Yeah.
We're singing a song.
Sure.
Now...
Skateboarding?
Whoever goes second...
Skateboarding, does that work for skateboarding?
Yes.
Okay.
No, it doesn't work for skateboarding. Whoever goes second,
skydiving.
It has to be a subjective thing. It can't be something where you're like racing.
Yeah.
So the person that goes second will win unless they're terrible.
Yeah.
You will always win if you go second. And it seems like going first is an advantage. The audience is fresh.
Yeah.
But the audience then forgets.
Yeah. That's
and right. Then the second one, like, oh, I enjoyed that. And we remember. And you feel like a little guilty. Voting for the early guys when we just bonded with these fellows.
So there
you are.
That's true.
But I think they did a wonderful job. I'm just saying, all things being equal, the second team will always win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not that I care, because it's a good fun had by all. I'm just saying.
If you ever get a chance... you can't work with those guys.
Nope. I'm done.
Are you going to do more of those shows, or is that... seems like you kind of...
Could be, but I have to do it with other people.
Yeah, but you're kind of cutting your...
Yeah. It's risky.
Yeah, it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
This seems kind of odd, like that you can never
with that team specifically.
But can you work with one person?
Yes.
Okay. That's fine then.
Is it with the limited amount of improvisers in town? Just then mix them up and just like you know.
Yeah. No.
Hey, John, you can work with you can't work with Paul and Ringo ever again, but you can work with Ringo and Eric Clapton. I guess that's all right.
It's happened.
Did they? Did Ringo, Eric Clapton,
George, and Eric Clapton and Ringo and
And they became.
No, but I mean, they just would play on each other's records and things, yeah.
Good for them.
It was a very,
Dave,
you know,
I think now's a good time to plug our other podcast.
Oh,
this came organically.
It came organically.
Yeah, this is a nice, smooth, organic plug. This isn't like we shove them all at the beginning, we shove them all at the end. We're dropping fat beats of knowledge right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, we do a podcast now called Completely Beatles, and we're going through all of...
It's my phone.
Okay, good. That was really creepy. All of a sudden, I'm hearing the murder song from Kill Bill. Okay. That is a terrible song when you're trying to talk about the Beatles.
Can we pause for 1 second while I answer this call?
Yes,
this
please. Important. So Dave just got a better job offer than podcast.
That's right.
So he is going to now be on Caustic Soda every week. So congratulations, Dave, for that.
Thanks very much. Thanks. Actually, it's a new show called Snacky Dragon, and it's a food tasting show.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. What type of food are you going
to be doing?
Dragons. Explain.
We'll be eating dragons.
I have no idea what that means.
Like dragons. We'll be eating dragons. Like hot dogs made from dragons.
Like kimono dragons?
Hamburgers, yeah.
Okay.
Hamburgers made from dragons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, that sounds fine.
That sounds terrible.
I don't know what dragons taste like. I bet they would taste magically and magically like delicious. I bet like in, spoilers, Hobbit, when you kill a Smaug.
Yeah.
And Smaug falls down.
Yeah.
You don't bury him. You don't bury a Smaug.
Yeah.
You can't burn him because he's a dragon and will not burn.
Yeah.
And you can't throw him in the water because that'll just be weird. They must eat him.
Probably.
You know, nice fresh dragon. Like, who wouldn't want to try like a dragon wing and just see what that's like? But what if you get a taste for it?
Buffalo dragon wing.
Like a nice buffalo dragon wing.
Yeah.
In the heart of America. Yeah, they must do a little something like that.
Sure.
Now, here's my question about, you know, we started our first episode talking about Smaug.
Yes.
Are there any other dragons in the Tolkien universe besides Smaug?
Well,
because they refer to him as like the great dragon, and you're, but people don't seem to go, what the fuck's a dragon? Like,
yeah.
People are aware dragons are around.
They're aware dragons are around.
There's multiple dragons, apparently.
Mm.
Any other reference to a dragon?
Okay, well, you're talking to someone who's only, I've only read like The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings.
I think that's right?
I tried to read The Silmarillion.
Oh, that's a different, okay.
Which is like a collection of his sort of off cuts and things of that, and just things he wrote down to sort of fill out the world. I believe. I never read it. There's also Unfinished Tales, which, once again, is kind of... also could have been called Bottom of the Barrel, I guess. And then there's Farmer Ham of something or other. Or Farmer Giles of Ham. That's what it's called.
Okay.
And I haven't read that one. I do have the book at home, but I've just never cracked it. I don't know why. Oops. I just cracked my fingers open. And you said, be healthy? I just broke my finger. So in those books, in the limited scope of Tolkien that I've read,
right,
I don't remember there being another dragon. It was a really long way to get to that answer.
But everyone in The Hobbit seems to go like Smaug, the dragon, a species of which we understand to exist.
Yeah.
So clearly there are other dragons.
There are other dragons.
He must have a mommy dragon and a daddy dragon.
That's right. They don't just come out of nowhere.
Don't they?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think what happens in Game of Thrones.
But it's not like you're saying Tolkien.
I know, but let's I think probably it's the same.
Are there dragons in
In Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones? Dragons in Harry Potter.
How far are you into Game of Thrones? Are you watching any of it?
I'm not interested in it.
It might be some dragons. Okay. Anyway, I'm just trying to think like if there's a mom dragon and if two dragons love each other very much, they have a dragon thing. Or if just an egg shows up somehow, if it's Phoenix style. But anyway, sorry, Harry Potter, what happens?
They have dragons in that, and they're hatched from an egg.
They breed two dragons, and then they have a baby dragon.
I assume
eggs.
So. We don't actually see any dragon getting it on.
By the way,
speaking
of that.
Yes.
So you've heard the J.K. Rowling thing this week?
No.
Okay. So J.K. Rowling has said she made a mistake in her book.
I would agree. Can I guess what the mistake was?
All right, Dave, please.
Can I just guess? And this is not a jokey guess. The way that the characters paired off at the end of the series.
That'd be correct.
Oh. Oh, okay. So what did she think?
Mm-mm. I like where you're going. What do you think the mistake was?
Well, I think...
You're already going down this garden path. Okay, go for it.
It's always bothered me that Hermione and Harry Potter didn't be together.
Well, in that way, J.K. Rowling agrees with you.
Oh, okay.
She thinks she should have paired those two off.
Yeah.
Why? Why do you think?
Well, because I think that they were the two heroic characters, and they're like the most, I don't know, to me they're the most likable, most two alike character, like the most, do you know what I mean? Like their relationship, they had like a relationship together, and they were like best friends, and I don't know, to me it always seemed like it would become something more. You know what I mean?
You know what I kind of liked about... Oh, two things I liked about it. One, I thought Ron and her were different yet the same enough that they balance each other out. And I think sometimes in a relationship, that's a good thing.
Mm.
You don't want the two best people Otherwise, you get Carrie Fisher and Simon... Paul Simon. And now that doesn't work out.
Carrie Fisher and Paul Simon?
Yeah, they were married.
Really?
Yeah, Carrie Fisher and Paul Simon. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, they were.
I thought you were going to say Edie Brickell and Paul Simon because they're both singer-songwriters.
Nope, Carrie Fisher and Paul Simon were married, right, audience? They definitely were a couple. And there was a thing that they said, the reason they broke up was both of them needed to be like the sort of center of attention, and neither of them could, you know, give each other, you know.
Sure.
Both were trees and no one was shade. Anyway, so what I think, though, about... One thing I do like about Hermione and Harry is that they're friends.
Yeah.
And there's no real other books that have that kind of we're friends,
yeah.
and that's enough. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like friendship leads to romance, leads to this. That's the thing sure. in almost all the other books. It's like, it has to be that. And it's like, they're friends,
yeah.
the end, good enough. And you know what? They can be friends, and that's cool.
Yeah.
So I do like it for that. But you feel differently, and apparently now J.K. Rowling also feels differently.
Well, I just think Ron is, you know, he's kind of a goof. Like, Hermione's is really smart, ambitious.
You don't think Ron is kind of the brave one in the group, the bravest of the three?
Oh, no, Harry's the bravest.
I disagree.
For sure, Harry's the bravest.
No, well, for sure, no, he's not.
For sure, yes, he is.
No, not at all.
Why would you say he's not?
Because Harry has no fucking choice. I'm swearing now, everybody. Harry is, you're the chosen one. So what happens? Regardless, you're in this mess.
Okay.
No choice.
Yeah.
You know, the sorcerer's coming after you. Mm-hmm. All the shit's going to happen to you. You're the focus.
Yeah.
So you deal with it as best you can, and Harry deals with it well.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you that.
Well, that's bravery.
No, that's bravery, but you're forced to be. It's like, here's the.
But it doesn't matter. If you're a soldier in a war,
okay,
you're
yes,
forced to
exactly.
be there.
Exactly. No, sir. No, sir. Let me tell you, this is the okay. difference.
Sure.
It's the difference between the soldier who is drafted
yeah.
a la Harry and then shoved into the front lines
yeah.
and the guy that doesn't have to be part of it.
Yeah.
Ron doesn't. Ron can just go and be at school. Ron can just deal with shit in his life and okay. just like be one of the many brothers and who the hell knows you yeah. know, of that incredible sure. Catholic family. but no, Ron
yeah.
steps up over and over again when he does not have to.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him braver than Harry. He goes toe-to-toe with things that he is miles away from being ready for. He doesn't have the Harry powers. He doesn't have the super wand. He's just the...
But Harry doesn't have a super wand either. Except
well,
that
eventually,
it's a twin.
Eventually
except
he does a have
twin,
a super wand.
Except that it's a twin of Voldemort's.
But Harry is gifted from the get-go as, like, he's really good.
No.
Well, he keeps beating people. He beats, like, but, your but Draco, here, like, boom.
But he beats people because he has Hermione and Ron. Or because he has Dumbledore, you know, who sends the phoenix that brings the sword? Dumbledore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Harry would be dead in the Chamber of Secrets if right. it wasn't for Dumbledore there. Harry would be dead in the very first book if it wasn't for Hermione and Ron being there to help him through all those
right. So you're saying Ron was very brave being in this trap.
And Hermione. Hermione is the same.
No,
she's
I'm not
also
saying
super brave.
I'm not saying Hermione's not brave. We're not even talking about that. We're talking now about Harry and Ron. Who's the bravest of those two? And I think the person that makes the choice okay. to do the things
yeah.
is braver than the person who is forced to do the things. And Harry is forced to do the things and reacts well. So that's why I think like Ron, who could just be Johnny Schmuck
yeah.
and go about his life and he likes his cakes and just a you know and he could be like that.
You have an argument.
Thank you, sir.
You have an argument.
I appreciate that. What do you think, gentle listeners?
it's time for us to ring in.
So also,
why did J.K. Rowling say that she thought Ron? Like, what was her reason for Ron?
She just felt felt like Harry and Hermione would have paired off better. Like in retrospect, she feels that would have been a better matchup.
Yeah.
And then you know the readers of the book for the most part went no, you know, because
they love the way it
journey.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She likes that, you know, this person, you know, and this person got together. And again, I think it would really get rid of a friendship that's an important lesson to kids who are reading those kind of books. That, like, you can actually be a man and a woman
yeah.
or a boy and a girl and be friends. And that's good. And you go, like, you mean like Harry and Hermione? Yes. and it's a bit of a drag going, like, they should have hooked up. No, they shouldn't have and gotten married. No, sir.
Well, it does show you. I mean, and I agree with you in a way. And I don't mind the way it ended. Like, I wasn't unhappy when it ended. I didn't say like, oh, this should have been this way.
And you went and you wrote your fan fiction.
Yeah, that's right.
Or it's all a dream.
It's all
they
a dream.
Wake up together.
But where I think it really went off the rails was the kids' names. Those are terrible names.
What names?
What was like Albus Severus Dumbledore or something where they're like, this is terrible. So dumb.
Phineas Philpatch.
Yeah. Stop
Bibble
it.
Bibblebum.
So your name's Harry Potter. Why would you give your kids name Severus so-and-so and... All this, ugh.
I mean, that's the reason Severus was getting beat up at school
yeah.
was a stupid name.
He had a name Severus.
Yeah.
He's always getting his arm cut off.
Yeah, you got like
now you're Severus.
Ron mm-hmm. and Harry.
Yeah. That's
Bob, right. you
and,
know?
And the name that everyone read is Hermione for the first two books they read until finally someone said to them, you know it's Hermione, right? They're like, oh my God, I've been saying Hermione for 2 years.
I feel like quite the fool.
Yeah.
Now the question is, what's the, you know, I mean, the first thing was, hey, Dumbledore's gay. Now it's, I hooked yeah. up the wrong kids. Now it's like, what's your third one?
Yeah.
You know, maybe something about the dragons, maybe?
Man, yeah. It's so much better
When like, authors shut up.
Yeah, more authors should be like more authors should be like Thomas Pynchon or J.D. Salinger. Nothing. Don't say a word. Here, I would prefer that you write.
Here's where I would agree with it. Like, is like if say the movies come out and they do something in the movie where they do where then they approach the author a la Stephen King and they go like, what do you think of this? Well, then you can say, I like it or I didn't.
Yeah.
Those are two fine things. You're, but don't just go, by the way, my book was wrong. Yeah. And you know, in The Shining, when the guy gets the axe in the back, he's fine.
Doesn't,
walks it
doesn't
off.
Doesn't happen in The Shining, though.
Okay, what happens in The Shining? How does that guy die?
He drives off with them.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he lives in the book.
There you go. Maybe he goes, I should
have. I was shocked when I saw the Kubrick movie, and spoilers, everyone, and Halloran gets the axe through the chest, and it's going to walks in. Hello? Hey, is anyone? Oof, dead.
Is it axe in the back or chest?
Yeah, chest. He's walking forward, and then Jack Nicholson's Jack character jumps out and hits him in the chest with an axe.
You know what? That's also how you put on axe body spray.
With an axe.
Well, right through the chest. Yeah, it's like right across the chest. Like, are you supposed to put on axe body spray with an actual axe?
I think so.
That's pretty butch.
Yeah, it's a really manly.
Manly way of doing it. I like it. Nice. Right. Also, that means people that wear it only wear it once.
Yes. Or they put on, they use axe cauterize, which is a different spray.
Oh, that's the after.
It hurts. I didn't know what it was for. I just thought it was you know, like an antiperspirant. It's not.
Nope.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what, folks? I think we've run out of time.
End jokes.
Oh, that was a couple of shows back. Don't worry about that. That's not going to stop us. We're going to be back next week.
Before we go, can I just plug our podcast?
Didn't we already do that?
No, we didn't. We went.
Oh, we got distracted.
Speaking of tangents.
Oh my gosh. Okay, please plug away.
We do another podcast, everybody. It's called Completely Beatles, and what we've been doing is going through album by album, song by song, the Beatles oeuvre.
Wait, Dave, I've been listening to the Monkees albums.
That would explain some of the problems we've had with the songs.
All right.
Yes.
Please continue.
And we'll do that next, actually. We'll do the Monkees after we do the Beatles.
I'll see you in hell.
And, yeah, so...
I meant help. I said, I'll see you in help, which is our next episode. It was help.
Our current episode that came out, dropped yesterday, is help. I shouldn't have said yesterday. Our most recent... I'm going to edit that out. Our most recent episode of the show is Help, and that's out right now, and you can listen to that. It's a real long one, folks. We had a lot to say about Help. I don't know why, because I don't think – it's not my favorite album, and yet we went on and on for quite a while.
And we were going to do one where we're talking about the movie Help. Unfortunately, I watched the movie The Help.
The Help.
And Dave, for the longest time, was going, when does Ringo eat the shit pie?
That's right. That's a real shit
remember.
Sandwich.
I don't remember that at all, and that was my mistake. Yes. I get easily confused. Anyway, it's called Completely Beatles, and it's fun. It's a little bit of fun. It's the show. You know, I'm complaining about some comedy shows I'm working hard at.
Yeah,
that's the podcast I work hard at.
Yeah, that's right.
So you gotta write stuff down. And you gotta research, and we're trying. We're making an effort. If you don't listen to it, we'll go, we shouldn't make an effort anymore.
Mm.
But if you do listen to it, then we're gonna make more of an effort in the future. So there you go. That's it's win-win for me.
Yes.
Either way, if you don't listen to it, I can slack off for the rest of podcasting.
We have way more listeners to Completely Beatles than this dumb show.
Do we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Then we should just get back to plugging this show on that show.
That's right.
By the way, if you do like this show, tell your friends. And, you know, why not listen to it?
Or tell your neighbors.
Well, that seems like a weird thing to do.
No,
just knock on your...
Yeah. Go over.
Hey, do you like podcasts?
Have you heard the good news?
Yeah.
Sneaky Dragon.
Slam. Exactly. If you could dress like a Mormon while you do it, that'd be fantastic.
Mm.
Tell your friends about the show if you can. Word of mouth is the best way to do it. Go on to our Facebook page. Go on to our SneakyDragon.com page. We love to hear from you and get your feedback.
Did you say to review it on iTunes?
Please review it on iTunes. You guys are all hep to the jive.
Yeah.
Except possibly my mother-in-law, who I think is now starting to listen to some of the stuff that we're doing.
Oh.
She doesn't I mean, she's not hep. She's very hep.
Oh, okay.
You know what how cool my mother-in-law is, Dave?
She says 23 Skidoo Daddy-O.
No, she does not.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you what. She was a biathlete.
Mm?
Yeah. She was almost in the Olympics like back in the day.
Wow.
She can ski.
But there's no gays allowed.
And then shoot what?
Sorry, you said biathlete.
Dave.
Yeah.
You know, you're French. You are gayan, so you cannot start going with any homophobic nonsense.
Okay.
Anyway, she was a biathlete. She can do the shooting. She can do the skiing. She's amazing.
Wow.
Whenever I see like the Olympic stuff, I go like, hey, my mother-in-law can do that.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Normally, you just go, my mother-in-law can curl. But yeah, she can do that. Anyway, yeah. So she started listening, but she listens, I believe, like on the computer when she just hits that one button that you can hit on her webpage.
Oh, okay.
Download it and do all the things. She just like, and then has to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah,
there's no stopping it.
Yeah.
It's once it's started all the way to the end. Yeah. So, you know, if she's listening to this, bless her and hello.
We should do the shows a lot shorter then for her benefit.
Yeah. She may have to go to the bathroom at some point.
We're going to move to half an hour long.
Oh, I think everyone would enjoy that. And I love that we're really padding the end, talking about how we should make our shows shorter, just for irony's sake. Anyway, I think
we're
that
so dumb.
We're a couple of real dumb heads. Anyway, hope once again our pledge that I hope you will take as well is let's just be well this year, everyone. No more hospital visits. Well, go to the hospital if you need to, but
I can't go see my dad.
Fine. No, you just make it under the wire, buddy.
Okay.
Just under the wire. Yeah, but don't go getting any freebies yourself when you're in there. No, you can go for tests. You just don't. No one gets sick this year. Let's have a healthy year. Everyone be well. And if you want to go to Portland with Dave, let us know. We're getting our field trip together. Remember, if you go to Portland, though, get some health insurance because they don't have the same health insurance we have in Canada. Be insured because Dave's taking you to places that have bacon. And we have our first caller that have bacon on chocolate donuts. Anyway, Dave, I think, probably has to answer something right now. So, wrapping this up, thanks for listening, Sneaky Dragon. I've been Ian Boothby.
I've been David Dedrick.
And have yourself a dragon good day. That's a terrible slogan. You should think of something better. Quit dragging your heart around. Drag on, you crazy diamond.
I like that one best.
Take a drag on this cigarette.
Goodbye, everyone.
We're flaming.
Oh, hi, dear. You know what? I'm doing a show!